the gift of the Lord's Day. What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? We'll read together Lord's Day 38. If you turn into the back of your Psalter hymnals, page 891, page 891, we'll read the Lord's Day 38, also provided on your screen if you're reading online. Lord's Day 38. Of course, the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. And then let's turn in our Bibles to Leviticus 23 and Mark 2. Leviticus 23, found on page 119. And we'll just read the first three verses. First three verses of Leviticus 23. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations or holy assemblies. They are my appointed feasts. And here's the first one. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation or holy assembly. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord your God in all your dwelling places. A Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. And then let's turn ahead to Mark 2. Maybe familiar to you. Mark 2, the end of Mark 2 and the beginning of Mark 3. Mark 2, verse 23. Page 996. Mark 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, he, Jesus, was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And he entered the synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is God's word. May he bless it to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this morning we sang that the Sabbath day is day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. We said last week it's that window given to us by God through which we can look out upon the eternal Sabbath and the new creation. We're all believers. We'll walk and talk with God in perfect peace and joy. And the weekly Sabbath is a preparation, is a series of stepping stones to help us focus on the eternal rest that we have in God through Christ, and to strengthen us, give us food for the journey, lest we forget our God, getting lost in the hustle and bustle of life, which is enough to bury us. There's so much going on in a week's time. So there remains, says Hebrews 4, there remains a Sabbath rest, a sabbatismus, a Sabbath observance for the people of God in the new covenant. Because we now have not yet entered the eternal rest, there remains a weekly rest to help us get there as we journey forward to the rest Jesus has prepared for us in heaven. And thus may all our Sabbaths prove till we join the church above. In today's passage, we want to see how Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, honored the Sabbath day. He liberated the people from legalism. He restored the Sabbath to its proper use. Here we learn that Jesus' followers have true liberty under the Lord of the Sabbath. That's the theme. Jesus' followers have true liberty under the Lord of the Sabbath. First of all, liberty from legalism. Liberty from legalism. The Sabbath was made by God for man. Way back in the beginning, God rested on the seventh day. And then he blessed it as a special day. And then he did one more thing. Remember? He declared it holy, set apart for sacred use. Every day is important. Every day is God's day, day for serving the Lord. But one day out of seven is set apart for sacred use. It's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Holy. A gift of weekly rest from God so that we can rejoice in God and rest in his work done for us, his good work. What a gift. God gives you 52 days a year. By the time you're 10 years old, how many Sabbaths do you get? 520. 520. By the time you're 25 years old, you've been given 1,300 rest days, more than 3.5 years of your life. By the time you're 80, 4,160 Sabbath days donated to your well-being by the good God, about 11.5 years of your life, almost. Now, a Sabbath day goes by and you think, well, not much happened today. But think of the cumulative impact of 52 days a year, of a seventh of your days, dedicated to focusing on God and his works and preparing for the eternal Sabbath. It's powerful. And we hardly realize it. In fact, in our culture, we've discarded the day. We complain about it. We see it as a burden. We just ignore it to do our own thing. And so we become more stressed out and need to hire people to help us with our stress. Of course, that can happen anyway because of the power of sin and sickness in our lives. But we add to that by not using the days God's given. If you have your Bibles open, just turn back for a moment to Isaiah 58 and see the blessing that God intends to give his people on the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, look at verses 13 and 14. Turn to Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. This is a promise of God. If you turn your foot away from my Sabbath, that is, from trampling my Sabbath, and if you turn from doing your pleasure, your own pleasure, on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight, and if you call the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, not seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then, here's the promise, you shall take delight in the Lord. Your delight in the Lord will grow by leaps and bounds. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. But sadly, there's two ways we can throw away this gift. And the Pharisees tried to throw it away through legalism. They didn't think they were doing that. Legalism, which makes Sabbath a burden, a day of counting our works. Sabbath becomes a work that saves us. And the day wasn't intended for that. It was space, sacred time, to focus on God who saves us, on Christ who saves us. The day can't save you. And adding all kinds of laws to it can't save you. And so in Jesus' day, the Sabbath was lost under layers and layers of man-made laws that destroyed the liberty of the people of God. Destroy their liberty, actually focus on God and his goodness and his grace. And therefore, it gave them no renewal of their rest and refreshing of their faith, because it was a day that produced anxiety. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? It became a day of hard work. And if you read the four Gospels, you see Jesus hitting this wall of legalism wherever he went, as he kept the Lord's day in a true way, holy. Because he came as the Lord of the Sabbath to restore it. To restore it to its proper use. For the enjoyment and rest of God's people. And to rescue the Sabbath from its weary burdens. That's what Jesus was doing. So here were Jesus and his disciples walking through the grain fields one Sabbath. And as they made their way, it says, verse 23, where are they going? And they're going to the synagogue. 3, verse 1, they're going to church. As they made their way, they pick a few kernels of grain from the field, and that was allowed in Old Testament law. That was not theft. That was just plain generosity, loving your neighbor for the one whose field it was. But on that day, the Sabbath was weighed down by 1,529 man-made bylaws about Sabbath keeping. You couldn't kill a fly. That was hunting. That's hunting, right? You couldn't lift more than a weight of a dried fig. That's carrying a load. Might as well get your transport truck out. You can't shuck a few kernels of grain between your hands. That's harvesting. Might as well get the combine out. You can't leave milk over the Sabbath to curdle. That's cooking. Might as well open a restaurant. The rules were so minute and restrictive That they became the focus instead of God. And the Pharisees would rather see people go hungry on the Sabbath than pick a few heads of grain for breakfast. And then Jesus reminds us that in the Old Testament, when David and his men were fleeing from Saul and they were hungry, they had no food, the priests gave them the 12 loaves of bread from the table of showbread, which they changed every day, and that was food that only the priests were allowed to eat. But the priest, seeing these hungry men, said, feeding these hungry men is more important than feeding ourselves. The Sabbath law is not intended to reject men's basic needs. The Sabbath was made for man, says Jesus, not man for the Sabbath. And then you move on to Mark 3. They get to the synagogue for worship. The Pharisees thought it was sin to heal somebody on the Sabbath. There's 6 days to do that. But there Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. And the Pharisees would rather have that man's affliction continue than to have him healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus asks, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm, to save life or to kill? And they were silent, and Jesus was angry at their hardness of heart. Their own rules were more important to them than people's lives. Brothers and sisters, where there's a crisis of human need, we should help even if it's Sunday. The police need to keep the public peace on Sunday. The nurse needs to care for the sick on Sunday. Meals need to be prepared and served on Sunday. The stranded motorist needs assistance on Sunday. The stranger needs hospitality on Sunday. The shut-in needs a visit on Sunday. In other places, Jesus argues with the Pharisees. You lead your donkey out for a drink on Sunday. If your ox falls in a pit, you pull it out on Sunday. How much more should we not help people if you can help animals on Sunday or on the Sabbath? The Sabbath was a gift of God's mercy, and they've turned it into a merciless grind. They turned the Sabbath day upside down. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and we are not. He gets to tell us how the day is to be used. He came to liberate us from legalism, from concentrating so much on tiny infractions. Don't make the bed. Don't ride your bike. Don't go for a walk. Don't make a meal. Don't go for a swim. And there's no freedom to move and to enjoy the day of rest as a day away from the frenzy and stress of everyday life. It's a day away from the hustle and bustle of ordinary labor and leisures that can become a distraction to Jesus. And the purpose of it is to help us focus on the Lord and not focus on little man-made rules. What we see secondly, the Sabbath day, Jesus also gives liberty from our weekly, daily labors and leisures. Jesus came not to abolish the Sabbath day, but to restore it. You see that in every encounter. And every Sabbath war he engages in, he's going back to its roots in creation when he says the Sabbath was made for man, not man. Let's go back to when it was made. That's what he did with marriage too. Let's go back to when it was made. In the beginning it was not so. He didn't abolish marriage. He restored it to what it's to be. Same with the Sabbath. He didn't abolish it. He restored it to the way God made it. It was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Not a straitjacket for us to fit, but a day to fit us. To fit our need for rest. In fact, Jesus himself, who created all things, made the Sabbath in the beginning. And then he rested. So he's Lord of the Sabbath. We aren't. He owns it and we don't. He gets to call how we should use this day, which was made for us. That it was made for us doesn't mean that we get to own it and say, I will do it in whatever I please. That's how some take that. He says both, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath and it was made for man. Those go together. I own it. I declare what's to be done in it. And this day is for your refreshment. It's for you. It's a gift. Not a drudgery. It's a blessing, not a curse. And then Jesus came, the creator of the Sabbath, to earth to redeem it. To lift the Sabbath law from the dirt and put it back in its proper place so it can be a blessing for his people instead of a burden. That's what he's doing here. It remains the Sabbath on it. You shall not do any work that is unnecessary work. And on it, you shouldn't make others do unnecessary work either. I get a rest. Who cares about my manservant or maidservant? It's the Lord's day. It's a Sabbath of and to the Lord your God. A day in which we prove we're not slaves to the stuff of our week. It's our liberation day. It's our freedom day. I am not owned by my hobby. I am not owned by my employer, by my business. I'm not owned by money. I am owned by the Lord, and by taking this freedom day, I declare that. What the Israelites discovered after they were slaves to Pharaoh 7 days a week, and they get out of the land, one day, no work. Sometimes we think, oh, Moses. Think of what that meant for the Israelites. Oh, wow. At least when they were thinking about it rightly. That's the day we declare we're the Lord's children. We're not slaves to our work, our hobbies. We're not slaves to sport. We're not slaves to our devices. We are the Lord's. We have to take care that we do not let anything or anybody steal our day of rest from us. Sometimes an employer will push you because he or she doesn't understand why this day is important. And you need to politely and kindly push back. Don't give it away. The Lord owns all the jobs in the world, so if that doesn't work out, he'll find another one for you, but don't give it away. Don't seed that ground, unless it's necessary work, of course. By stopping one day in seven, we're being totally countercultural. Whether it's the tyranny of Pharaoh in Egypt or the tyranny of money today, we're being driven by our culture to 24/7 productivity. There's no time for rest. Rest means lost revenue. Closed stores, closed theaters, closed stadiums, closed factories, closed gyms mean lost living. We're so geared to look for our life in the busyness and the pleasures of this world rather than our God that we think if we lose that. If we lose that day, we're in trouble. Our satisfaction factor is going to lower. And so this commandment of God, which is for our God, was totally countercultural back then in Israel's time and for us today. William Willimon wrote this, one day per week on the Lord's Day, Christians simply refuse to show up. So let's diligently and humbly obey this because we need it and because God commands it. Take a break from Strathroy buy and sell. Take a break from the news cycle. We desperately need a break from Fox News or whatever. Take a break from Disney and YouTube and Netflix and the Toronto Blue Jays and your homework. Don't let your schoolwork whisper at you on Sundays. You need to study. You're going to get behind. Your marks are going to suffer. Don't let your homework do that to you. Stop. And then give your neighbor a break too. The Sabbath was intended to be a powerfully leveling force in Israelite culture and in the world, where everybody, whether you're rich or poor, slave or free, man or woman, maidservant or manservant, you're liberated from your labor. But as the love of money increases, everyone, especially the lower class, is being pulled into the seven-day work week. Terry Johnson, Pastor Terry Johnson writes, I say we are our own worst enemies when it comes to Sabbath. Because every time we buy or sell on Sunday, we contribute to an employment chain that's becoming longer and larger. When we buy food, someone must sell it, another must serve it, another must prepare it, another must deliver it, and on and on and on. Liberated. From the commitments, the toil, the frenzy, the hustle and bustle of the week. And we see, thirdly, liberated for worship. We need a day away from it, from the normal labors and leisures of this world. We need a day of rest, but rest means more than a day off in the Bible. It means much more. Ultimately, it means setting aside a day to focus on God and His works. And we do that above all by gathering for worship. That's what the Lord wants. You see that already in the Old Testament. You know, three times a year, we know that the people gathered in Jerusalem for the feasts and spent Sabbath there. But what about the other 49 Sabbaths? Leviticus 23. Every local community had its own synagogue where the people of God met to hear the word and to praise the Lord together in their own local communities. It was a feast day. One of the feast days. It was a day of holy convocation. That word means meeting together, assembly, synagoguing. To sing the songs of Zion and recite scripture and pray and listen to the teaching of the Bible. And then you get in the New Testament and Jesus does the same. Luke 4, Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom. Mark 3 and many other passages, Jesus and his disciples are in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And when Jesus rose, that day of rest moved to Sunday. He met with his disciples on the first day of the week, the day he rose. And then he waited a whole week before meeting with them again on the first day of the week when Thomas was with them the next Sunday, day of resurrection. And guess what day he poured out his Holy Spirit? Pentecost, which was the first day of the week. The church at Troas, Acts 20, verse 7, gathered to break bread on the first day of the week. And Paul was in a rush to get to Jerusalem, but he waited so he could be there with him that day. And then he left the next. 1 Corinthians 16, the churches at Corinth were called to set aside money on the first day of the week for the collection for the needy churches. Revelation 1, verse 10, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Jesus didn't abolish this command, but he deepened its meaning because he's our rest. He became a curse for us to make us blessed. He was condemned for us to give us rest from our guilt. He was forsaken by God on the cross to give us rest from the fear of hell. He was punished to give us rest from eternal suffering. He rose to give us the rest of immortal life. Life with God. Jesus is our rest. wants us to take the first day of the week to remember his finished work for us, lest we forget. As Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus wants us more than anything else to gather with his people for worship, to meet in holy assembly. That's the high point of Sabbath rest and worship. We focus on our God and rejoice in his great works with an intensity that exceeds every other form of worship. And his power is present in the assembly, says the Bible, more than at any other point. And that's the place of the Lord's delight more than any other. It's God's family day. And when we have our family reunion, it gives God great pleasure, but us too. The Lord loves the gates of Zion, Psalm 87, more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. It's his family day. And as the Catechism says, on that festive day of rest, we diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor, Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Assembly. And whether we meet once on a Lord's Day for a long service, as some churches do, take a break in the middle, but spend considerable time in the Word and in prayer and in praise, or we do that by meeting twice, it's important on this day to spend a good amount of time together in the communion of the saints before the throne of God in worship. It's not like one church sign said. It speaks, the sign is if God has a message. Let's meet at my house before the game, signed, God. Let's meet at my house before the game, God. That sounds pious. But what that's saying is Sunday's for whatever you want, but please give God a little bit of your time on the side, and then you can do your own pleasure. The whole day is holy. Is to be used in a special way for focus on God and enjoyment in him and caring for the saints, apart from work that's necessary. It's above all time to go to the cross and the empty tomb and see in Christ crucified and risen from the dead your salvation. He has done everything necessary for your salvation. And in the rat race, we need a resting place, and that's the best and really only resting place there is, Christ's finished work. And through that finished work, brothers and sisters, there's our doorway to paradise. And that's why there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And you get one 52 times a year. Specially delivered to you by your God. So we can say, stay strong in the Lord. What a gift. Let's keep it. Let's unpack it. Let's use it for God's glory our whole life long. Amen.